And I have the privilege to cross over at 4:45 this afternoon to Samuel Murombe. Samuel, good afternoon to you, sir.
Afternoon. How are you, Johan?
I'm so great, so fine, so wonderful, and praise the Lord. And thank you for being with us on the show this afternoon with your incredible great story. And I can just tell the listeners again, this incredible grace testimony by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, that Amen. He transformed you from a criminal gangster to a international evangelist. Now, come on, Samuel, tell us the story of grace.
Wow. Where do I begin, Johan? Greetings to you and greetings to the listeners of Radio Pulpit, Radio Council. What a great joy and a great opportunity for me to be here live on Radio Pulpit. And thank you for the opportunity that I can share with South Africa and the whole world the story of grace.
Samuel, let's start at the beginning. What is the life of a criminal gangster?
Johan, it is a terrible life. It is a life without joy. It is a life without peace. It is a miserable life. You go around and you cause so much pain to other people. You take things without their permission. You take things by force and you cause other people harm and pain. And at the end of the day, you have the money, you have everything that you need, but still you are miserable. Because you have no peace.
Samuel, I want to ask you the question, because I know many listeners also in poor situations, and even young people who are in such vulnerable situations, not having jobs at the moment in South Africa, and for that matter in Africa or around the world. You grew up in a poor home in the central parts of Mozambique. As a teenager, you decided to leave your family and country in search of a better life. And there are so many youngsters who's doing the same. You worked in Zimbabwe for a while, and then you set your foot into South Africa.
That's right.
Landed in Alexandra and Johannesburg. What would you, Samuel, advise parents or grandparents or even youngsters listening now to Radio Pulpit and Radio K Pulpit who find themselves in this same situation and struggle to make ends meet, and the criminal gangsterism seems as an opportunity to get out of that situation?
Yeah, you know, like we say in South Africa, life, you know, crime does not pay. And it is the same, you know, with my story, like you have already elaborated, that's very right. You know, I came and I landed in the township of Alexandra. And the third part of my story, the guys were willingly to welcome me and stay with me. They were gangsters, you know. And me being a young man who did not grow up in that kind of a environment, I said, okay, guys, I will stay with you. But I would just look for a job, you know, and look after myself. I will work, you know, because I believed, you know, that I had to work for myself. And I got myself a job with a local businessman in Alex. And I worked very faithfully, so, and very hard. But the gentleman, you know, kept on giving excuses, you know, when it was the time for us to be paid. He will say, you know, no, I don't have, you know, the white people did not pay me. The white people did not pay me. So, you know, you can just imagine the anger and the bitterness for the white people began to grow in my heart as, you know, as the what, you know, that man was telling us, you know. But always we will see him with stacks and stacks of money. But he will tell us that, you know, the white people did not pay him. He was taking a contract from the white people, and they will pay him, and he will lie to us. And that, you know, raised a lot of anger, you know, and bitterness towards the white people. And it became so easy that I think I mentioned in my testimony that one day, you know, when he was moving from the township going to the suburb area through the businesses that he was doing, we were the ones helping him to move his stuff. And I got hold of his gun, you know, and I hid it. And when we went back to Alex, I showed it to the guys that I was living with, because I saw them having the guns all the time, you know, changing the money and all those kind of things. So I said to them, guys, will you give me money for this, you know? And they said to me, no, we are not going to give you money for it. We are going to teach you how to use it to make money, you know? And and they taught me how to use the gun, you know, to rob other people. And from there, you know, they took me to the real life, you know, of crime. And the worst part is, you know, because of my heart and maybe because of how teachable I was, I became better than all of them. And I actually became one of their leader in doing, you know, house arrest and house breaking and all those kind of things. I mean, it starts small. It starts with house breaking, and then it grows to house arrest, where we get into a house when everyone is there and arrest the whole family, and then we get the money and then we go off, you know. And association, what I can say to the parents that are listening to me is, watch the people that your children are associating with. You know, there is a scripture in the Bible that says, bad company corrupts good character. You know, whatever that the parents may instill in the child today, they also bad company. And that bad company, you may find it at school. You may find it wherever the kids find themselves in. And that bad company will definitely determine the future of that child or that person. So my association with the guys that I was living with, real tech, turned my heart to become this hardened criminal that did and terrorized a lot of people in the township of Alexandra.
Hmm. Samuel, you also spend time behind bars, and just give us a very brief window into what life is behind bars.
Look, thank you so much, Johan, for asking that question. I really love to break down that part. You know, prison, it is not a place, you know, prison does not change a man's heart. I always say this to many young people, that prison, it is another university where a person can actually become a more hardened prisoner or more hardened gangster, because in prison you meet other prisoners who are doing crimes that are higher than yours.
Mm.
So, and the real prison that I believe it is a prison, it is the prison of the heart. You know, the prison of the heart is the biggest prison than this physical prison that we see today. And the life in prison was very tough, because in prison it's either you become very radical, or either the prisoners, the other prisoners inside the prison, there is also gangsters in prison. And if you are not part of that group of gangsters, they will turn you into a woman. And if you are somebody that likes things like cigarettes and there is no one who visits you, you know, they turn you into a woman. Being a man, you become a woman. So prison is a very tough place. And, you know, you can even be murdered in prison. You can even come out of prison, you know, hurt or injured because of how rough the prison is itself.
Samuel, and now by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a international evangelist. How did that happen? Tell us the grace story.
Let me tell you the grace story. You know, Johan, it seems to me it was like yesterday. Okay, while I was in prison, I was in Sun City, Johannesburg, Deep Kloof prison. And then from there, you know, in prison, we carried on living our lives, no? Inside the prison, we were smuggling drugs. We were doing cocaine, we were doing mandrakes, we were doing everything that we want, because we are able, there is corruption everywhere. We're able to smuggle it, you know, with prison warders, and then we'll get whatever that we want inside the prison. So that's why I'm saying to you, prison doesn't change anybody. We carry on with our criminal life or behavior inside the prison. And I was transferred from Johannesburg prison to a prisoner called Bavianspoort. That's where a story of grace began with my life. After being sentenced to 5 years imprisonment, I had already stayed one year awaiting trial in Sun City, and then they sentenced me and I was sent by draft to Bavianspoort. When I got to Bavianspoort, I had the opportunity to have this friend that we were doing things together, drugs and all that, in prison. And there was a group that they called Alpha Corps that used to come to the prison on Saturday. And they will bring sandwiches and they will bring cheese and bread and all that. And they will give it to the inmates after they've done their session, teaching about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega. But it was coming through one ear and going through the other ear. So this friend of mine convinced me, and he said, look, man, let's go there. I said, look, man, we are already in hell here. You know, I don't have time. I don't want to waste time to go and be in church. You know, we are already living a hell life here. And he said to me, look, man, me and you, we are the same. We are living the same life. Let's just go there and we'll grab some sandwiches. When last did you eat some sandwiches with cheese and all that? But what I want to say, the story of grace in my life began with that food that I ate. Because I believe that those people, the white people that were coming there from Alpha Corps, it was the Baptist church guys. I believe they prayed for the food. So I believe that that is where the conviction in my heart began. And then one day God sent a gentleman, a young man called Percival Mahlaule. Today he's a pastor. He is in Soweto. And he was a tongue speaking. And God sent that gentleman. He was born again, spirit filled. And he came to me directly and he said to me, Samuel, my brother, you are looking for something, but what you are looking for is not here. Let me invite you to the place where you are going to find what you are looking for. And I agreed to his invitation. And on a Sunday, on the beautiful Sunday, I went to the church. I sat right at the back. And there walked in a pastor on that beautiful Sunday. He had his Bible, a tall pastor from Pretoria, Pastor Ntuli. And he came and he went to the podium. He opened his Bible out of Romans chapter 7 from verse number 14. And he was reading out of the Bible. And he was speaking about a man who is sold out to be a slave to sin. You know, and right there when he was preaching, I heard two voices. One said, someone told the preacher about you. And the other voice said, no, this is the Lord speaking to you. Repent. And the word repent shook me to the very core of the foundation of my life. And I was shaking and shivering like a leaf, and mucus were coming out of me. I was weeping. I did not understand what was happening. And on that day, I realized there was a preacher inside the preacher, and that was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit arrested me that day. And I don't know anything about altar call, but the Holy Spirit made a special altar call. I found myself in France raising my hand. No one told me to raise my hand. And I said, preacher, if this Jesus you are talking about can save people, let him save me now. And right there, the preacher closed his Bible. And he said, who wants to join this young man? And he led us to the prayer of salvation. Johan, peace like a river flooded my soul on that day. For the first time in my life, I knew that I knew that I knew that if I was to die at that instant moment, I was going to heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah to that testimony. And amen. We praise the Lord God Almighty, Samuel.
Amen.
And may Percival Mahlaule also be blessed so in abundant ways by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I heard you went to your mother and you said to your mother in Mozambique, if this Jesus can do such things to you, your mother said to you, beginning to reveal things to you, your mother said to you, I would love to receive this Jesus. And then, Samuel, you led your own mother to the Lord Jesus. Praise
the Lord. That's better, right.
Praise the Lord for that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brother. May the Lord God Almighty bless you.
All the glory be to Jesus. And it is my prayer that through this testimony, many more thousands of young people listening to me under the voice or under the sound of my voice will come to know that there is hope for them and that Jesus loves them and that he has got the power to break the thousand chains that are binding them today.